Thank you so much. You may be seated. Good morning. This morning, I would like to share passages from the Word of God that I pray would bless all of us, with our families, with our children that are in this house and those that are watching online. The title of my message is Run the Race, Pass the Faith. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." One of the key words here, of course, is the love of Jesus Christ that drove him to the cross. But it's also the second word that we are to pay attention is believe. Whoever believes in him. Jesus loves the world. Jesus extends his love to all of us. But for you and me to be saved, we must believe. Because the Bible says without faith, we cannot please him. It doesn't matter how good we are. Doesn't matter how much we try to live on our own, a holy life. We will always fail. Without faith, we cannot please God. And that's why the word of God in John 3:16 does not end, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Because that could have been enough. But he continues that whosoever will believe will have eternal life. That's why faith in our lives, it's so important. Faith in our lives is vital for our being. Faith in our life, it's vital for our eternity. And this faith that we are to live not only for ourselves, but to impact other people. And first and most, our children in our home. I've shared so many times about the heritage that I come from. I was born under Soviet Union in 86, in the 90s when the Soviet Union fell apart. Before then, my grandfather had to pay a price in his 20s, young man, newly came to the Lord. He did not go through a Bible school. He did not know theology. During that time, there was not even access to the Bible. We have so many in our homes now. But people will share, they'll write notes, scripture, and they will share with each other. For you to have a Bible during that time, it was wealth. People were risking their lives to read the scriptures. Because the Bible says, faith comes through hearing and the hearing of the Word of God. So the limited scriptures that he has heard and others around him compelled him to cry out to the Lord and say, "God, I believe in you." He was not born in a Christian family. Later on, he married and his wife was not born also in a Christian family. But the little that they knew, they gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And his wife, which is my grandmother, when she accepted the Lord, she was beaten by her parents to the point of bringing her to the streets with a stick, beating her, undressing her naked in front of the village. And the neighbors had to step in because he says, "You will kill her." That was the price that people were paying during the former Soviet Union. And as we lift up the nation of Iran, let me remind you that it's a great opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ to come and sweep through all these nations in the Middle East. Let us never forget that even in the former Soviet Union, American brothers and sisters, United States played a vital role to bring the gospel to our nation, to bring the gospel and preach the good news. And the gospel began to spread throughout Russia and Ukraine and many other countries. But I'm afraid that we became a little complicit as the body of Christ. I'm afraid that throughout the years, I'm included, that there are nations, there are people, there are families that are crying out for help. And we are the answer as the body of Jesus Christ to share this faith with other people. We became consumed in the 21st century. It's about me, myself, and I. But I want to stir our hearts this morning as Apostle Paul began to teach Timothy as a young man to stir the gifts in himself. We need a stirring. We need to stir ourselves in prayer, in reading the Word of God, in accepting the Word of God for what it is. Because in the last days, there will be mixture. And I love that my grandfather, my grandmother, and my parents that are alive, my parents that are alive today, my grandparents passed away many years ago. But I remember one line out of all the things. They did not give me sports. They did not give me wealth. They did not pass on money to us. But they passed one thing, the faith that they had, unwavering faith in Jesus Christ. And in the moments when I struggled in my walk with the Lord, there was always something that I would remember. And these were the words of my grandparents and my parents to this day. Keep the faith of the saints. If I would translate literally what this means in Romanian language or Russian language or Ukrainian, it says, protect the faith that was passed down to you. We have an obligation. The seeds that were sown in our hearts and in our life. The plan of the enemy is to come and sow division. To come and steal everything that the Word of God is doing in our lives. But me and you, we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to protect that what was installed in our hearts and in our lives. And many times, over the phone or in person, at times with tears, in times with a smile, our parents still remind all of our family, keep the faith, protect the faith, because a price was paid for what you have. It didn't come so easily. My grandfather was in prison in labor camps for years. He did not know much, but he knew one thing. If he denies Christ, it would be a catastrophic thing in his life. And he was willing to go to death for what he believed. Oh, let that faith arise in our hearts this morning to say, God Almighty, if people were willing to die for what they believed, today, this morning, I'm going to believe in you and I'm going to die to the flesh. I'm going to die to the things that are trying to entice my life so I can live for you, so I can stand for you, so I can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms lives. And I am a living testimony before you to say, parents, grandparents, your faith in Jesus Christ will impact the generation that is to come. Your faith is not in vain. When you get up in the morning and when you pray, when you open up the Word of God and you read, you allow the Word of God to take root in your lives, it will impact the next generation. It will impact your children. It will impact our marriage. It will impact our home. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God does not turn back void. Hallelujah. We sow seeds. We cannot transform our kids. Let me make this clear. We cannot change them. We cannot make them to be somebody. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. But we are called to sow the seeds. We are called to speak the truth. We are called to be able to uphold the truth and to protect the truth once and for all. Why? Because it's important for us to continue preaching the Word of God, not only to the nations around us, but first and foremost to our families. Hallelujah. And the Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and down, Apostle Paul, before he passed on, before he was about to go into eternity, he began to write from his prison letters to the saints. And this is the words that he began to share with a young man by the name of Timothy. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and down, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all, say with me all, with confidence, say with me all, but to all who have loved his appearing. The testimony of Apostle Paul that he began to share with this young man, Timothy. I have fought this fight. I have ran the race, but now it's your job to continue. And I love this, that even in those moments when Apostle Paul was about to go into eternity, he did not give up. He did not just say, you know what, woe is me, I'm here in a prison. But he was still running the race. And I love that. I love that races, when they are being run, especially when there is a team of people, it does not come to a stop, the person that is running first. It does not come to a stop and then the baton has been given to another person. But the baton is being passed while he's running. When he passes the line, then the other person begins to run after him. And while they're both running, the transition is happening. And this is how they go on and on and on. And I love that about Apostle Paul, that in his latter years, he did not stop believing. Maybe he had every reason to say, woe is me, I'm in a prison. I'm about to die. Is this all worth it? But he was still running this race. And he was passing the baton to a young man by the name of Timothy. And he's encouraging him. These promises that are given to me are not only to me, but to all who will continue to run this race. And these promises are to me and to you. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. Hallelujah. There is many fights we can fight in this world. There is also a fleshly fight of division, bickering, and biting. But Apostle Paul says, I have fought a good fight. A good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And that's what I want to talk to you for a moment. That Apostle Paul, out of all the things that he's paying attention to, he says, I have kept the faith. I have a responsibility to keep this faith. Not through what I can do, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. But also, what do we listen to? What do we allow to hear in our lives? What theologies do we allow to have an impact in our lives? What songs do we allow to form us? What things do we allow to come into our lives that can bring wavering in this walk with the Lord? We have a responsibility to say no to things. Because God has called me and you to live a godly life. And a godly life is not given to me and to you to live how we want. But it's to reject the world. To reject the sin of this world. And to say, God Almighty, I'm going to keep what you have entrusted into my hands. And not only keep, but to pass to the next generation. Finally, there is laid up a crown for me, a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. And not only to me in that day, but to all who will join me in this race, to all who will believe, and to all who will fight for that faith that is installed in our hearts. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful that my parents, till this day, you would think that they would say, well, Pavel is a pastor now, he should know things, he's okay. No, till this day, they're reminding me to keep the purity of faith. They're reminding us because a price was paid. It did not come very easy, did not come very cheap. But let me tell you, it costed Jesus Christ his life to give himself on a cross, to say that I love you with everlasting love, but for you to be saved, there is a condition. You must believe. You must believe in the finished work of the cross. You must believe in what I have accomplished for you, so now you can have eternal life. The second passage, if you can turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 3 and down says this, I thank God who I serve with a pure conscience. With a pure conscience. Do I have a pure conscience this morning? Do we have a pure conscience this morning? We can burn our conscience. We can get so used to things in this life that our conscience doesn't speak to us anymore. Are there things in our life that we feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit when we do something that we respond, our conscience is working? As my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith. The genuine faith. You see, again, he's remembering the genuine faith. And as a result, even tears come to him. He's paying attention to something that is so important in our life. The faith that we are to hold on to, that is in you, which dwells first in your grandmother, Louise, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. My beloved brothers and sisters, grandparents and parents, your faith matters. Your faith matters. And as Apostle Paul is reminding this young man, Timothy, the faith that was in your grandmother, the faith that was in your mother, now I see the same faith in you. And now I'm ready to go into eternity because I'm at peace. I can see evidence of God moving, and this faith will not cease. Hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God. And I pray that the same faith that was in my grandfather's heart, when he was willing to lay his life down instead of rejecting Christ. I thank God for my parents' faith, and I thank God that this faith is in my life, in my heart. And I pray for our children that the faith of Jesus Christ will come into their lives, but it will not come if we are quiet. It will not come if we just say, well, God only can do everything that he can. Of course he can do everything, but he has given me and you responsibilities. And this Sunday morning is a family Sunday. I'm reminding myself and all of us, we have a responsibility to speak truth and faith into our children. Because faith, as I mentioned, comes from hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. By opening the word of God and by just reading, doing devotions, driving, listening to the word of God. And right away, we might not see results, but in years to come, there will be results. Hallelujah. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in your throughout the laying of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. The power here, it also relates to the power of the Holy Spirit. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of the Holy Spirit. But he has given us power and love and sound mind. In different words, self-control. Self-control. And he continues, but share with me in the suffering of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to your works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel, praise be to God, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed. Hallelujah. My brothers, my sisters, we must know who we believe. For our faith to stay strong, we must know who I have believed. It's a personal decision. I cannot live on the faith of my grandfather, grandmother, or my parents. Apostle Paul reminds him and says, I know who I have been believed, who I have believed. And for that reason, I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hallelujah. So again, he brings it all back together. It's not how great we are, but how great God is. And he says, I am persuaded, I know that he is able to keep this faith. He is able to keep my master seat faith till the day that I appear before him to say, well done, come into my kingdom. Hallelujah. In different words, even in our faith, we need God. Even in this journey to believe, we need him to uphold us and to feed us from his word. As the worship team comes, in my closing, if you can come back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5 says this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. My brothers and my sisters, we live in a time where sound doctrine, now it's a problem for many people. Where sound doctrine is being compromised and exchanged for the church to be packed. Where sound doctrine is swept under the rug for the sake of let's be friendly to everybody. The gospel of Jesus Christ transforms people. It does not come alongside to agree with a lifestyle that is contrary to the word of God. The gospel and the word of God, this faith that I'm talking to you about, it changes people. Everybody's welcome to the house of God. But as we leave, let's believe that we'll be transformed and changed. One time, a while back, I was talking with our general overseer, Pastor Carr, and he said, the evidence of God moving and the anointing of God moving is transformed lives. It's not how emotional I got. It's not that the music was amazing. It's not how loud or how high I jumped. All of those things are great. But am I changed? Is my thinking transformed? Am I free? That's one of the evidence that when we come, we hear truth. Truth transforms. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Verse 5, but you, I love that. He brings up all of the things that might go around you. It's great to know. We're very good to hear everything what's going on around. But then it says, but you. Say with me, but me. But you, be watchful in some of the things that you do. Does it say that? What does it say? Be watchful in all the things that you do, in all of your dealings. Not at church only, but at home. At work, a vacation. What do we allow in our lives when nobody's there, when nobody's watching, when it's just me or somebody else? He said, the things are gonna go around you that you have every reason probably to look at left and right and join them. But he says, no, no, but the faith that it's in you, it's calling you and me to a higher standard. And he says, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, because as a result, you'll be afflicted. As a result, we will be left at. He says, but you endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Because he says, if you're going to live this way, there is a call and everything around you will come against you to press upon you to compromise. But you, be watchful in all the things that you do and know that you will endure affliction as a result. But through all of this, preach the gospel, because that's how people will hear about this faith and that's how people will accept him as a personal savior. Hallelujah. So you can go to our website, tscsummit.org, or to our main campus, tscnyc.org, and go to our statement of faith. And we can teach our children about the core doctrines that we believe in. It's 12 points, but there can be so many more. So maybe take one point a week. And that's what we can do with our family at a dinner table and talk about. We believe that the Bible is the inspired and only infallible word of God. There's so many things out there that challenges that now. Oh, was it really empowered by the Holy Spirit? Was really inspired by the Holy Spirit? A man named John or Peter, they wrote, do we really know that? We need to teach our children that the Word of God is infallible. It is the Word of God that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And there is no question about that. There is one true God, eternally existent in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How do you fully explain that? I don't know. You figure it out. But that's the truth. But that's the truth. We believe in the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his virgin birth, in his sinless life, in his miracles. We believe in miracles. The miracles of the Lord did not cease 2,000 years ago. I share so many times, my mom was healed more than 20 years from cancer. She was in bed, dying. And in one moment during communion, God came and healed her. I witnessed that in my life. God still does miracles. We believe in his atoning death, in his bodily resurrection, in his ascension to the right hand of the Father, in his personal future return to the earth in power and in glory to rule for 1,000 years. What a glorious day. Hallelujah. We believe in the blessed hope, the imminent return of Christ for overcoming believers. For overcoming believers, as Apostle Paul reminds us. We believe in the fall and the sinfulness of man, and that only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance and faith and faith and faith in the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, as we've heard this morning. There is no other way. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to personal salvation. We believe in divine healing is available through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross and finished work of Christ on the cross. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe then when the Holy Spirit comes, he transforms us, changes us, and makes us to be more like him. We believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is the universal spiritual body of believers from every tribe, tongue, kindred, and race of people, and is indwelled by God through the Holy Spirit and divinely empowered to fulfill ministry and the great commission on earth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that we are in Granville, Pennsylvania, in the middle of nowhere, but we have white and black and brown, all kinds of cultures because of the privilege we have to have Summit International School of Ministry here. And God is giving us a taste. God is giving us a taste what it means to worship together when there is no division because of skin color or where you come from. Under the cross, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. There is no hierarchy. but we're all His children. We believe in the sanctified power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy life. Yes, a holy life. You're talking about holy life in the 21st century? That word is not popular. Yes, we are called to live a holy life. How do we do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit that it gives us authority over sin, over temptations. We believe in the resurrection and final judgment of both the saved and the lost. The saved to everlasting life and the lost to everlasting damnation. I love Billy Graham's granddaughter's speaking. A while back, I had the opportunity to be in a room where she was sharing. And one of the things she began to share with pastors is that we no longer preach the gospel in church. We no longer do altar calls. We wash the gospel of truth the way it pleases people. But she says, let the church arise one more time and speak truth. There is everlasting life and there is separation from God and it's in hell. We are to speak truth in love. In love. We believe in the new heaven and the new earth and the holy Jerusalem, the city of God, descending out of heaven and filled with the glory of God. We believe in marriage. Yes. Who would think we have to speak about this? We believe in marriage. And not only because of the crazy stuff that is going on out there, but people are hooking up now and living without commitment, living illegally. Living not only outside the laws of the Word of God, but also outside of the laws of the land. And they justify their living, they justify their commitment because they love each other. Love is not a licentiousness and freedom to live how you want, but it's to die to your ambitions, to die to the flesh, and to submit to God. We believe in marriage is given by God and is ordained by God. The Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, not another wife, to his wife. But for her to be your wife, you must marry her to be united, not before marriage, but after marriage. And the two will become one flesh. Marriage is to be an exclusive relationship, a lifelong faithful journey, a lifelong faithful journey to one another and commitment to one another. This relationship between a husband and a wife should parallel the relationship between Christ and the church that is written in the book of Ephesians. For some, this might not be very easy to hear, but this is the word of God, my brothers and my sisters. And because I love you, I'm going to warn you. Because I love you and I care for you, I'm going to speak what the word of God says. And if you don't like it, there's many other churches you can join. But I'm going to be speaking by the grace of God, the truth of the Word of God, and it comes out of love. And if you're not convicted this morning, if somehow this lines that is being spoken from the Word of God is not gripping your heart, if you're not living accordingly, then run to Jesus Christ and says, God, is my conscience gone? Convict me again. I want to submit to your will. We practice two ordinances. Water baptismal, which I'm so excited about, that we're going to be having on Easter Sunday. And if you have received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, the Bible commands us also to profess that faith publicly by getting water baptized. After repenting of one's sins and receiving the gift of salvation. And number two, as we've done this morning, we also believe in the Holy Communion. In other words, the Lord's Supper, as a symbolic remembrance of Christ's suffering and death for our salvation. And not only that, but also for the victory that was obtained on the cross. And when we come to the Lord's table, we walk in victory. Hallelujah. You can find this on our website. I would recommend that you print this out. And this is one way, as Apostle Paul was teaching Timothy, of the doctrines because he was saying, if you're not going to teach them, others will. There are other people that will begin to teach them. But we have a responsibility to teach our family, our children, to teach ourselves, for me and for you to learn from the Word of God. Let us humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Let us not be so prideful to think that we know everything. Let us come to the well of the living water to learn. Let us lead by example. Let us live this word out. Let us be convicted one more time to say, God, if there is anything in my life, I pray that you would convict me and you would give me the grace that I need to walk in victory. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. But we have a responsibility. Children that are here, we're so blessed that you're here. And I'm going to ask you to bug your parents to say, hey, can you read the Bible with me? Whatever what that guy was saying, because you might not even know who I am fully because you're a lot downstairs. But can you talk to me a little bit more about it? And I'll talk with Pastor Josiah and Pastor Nick and see if we can print this out and have even in more in-depth with scriptures and things like that, an upper foil, and you can pick it up and you can just go to the foundational truths of the Word of God that molds our faith, that molds our worldview. Because if we are not gonna do that, the world will. If we're not gonna say this to our children, the world will. If we're gonna be preaching about marriage, the world will. And ultimately, then we're gonna be looking from the side, and what happened? That's what happened. We did not take the time to teach them. There is one verse in the Old Testament that really, really just presses upon my heart every time I'm reminded of this. And the Bible says this, and it arose another generation, and they did not know the Lord. Why? Because the works of the Lord were not passed down to them. Let this not be true in the church. Let this not be true in our families. Let this not be true in our communities. But we're going to say this way, and arose another generation filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we spoke the works of the Lord to them. They grew up to be strong. They grew up to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. They grew up not confused. They knew who God is for themselves. Let this be the story, that we grew up to be mighty giants of faith in Jesus Christ. And as my grandfather, if he was alive, he probably would have been proud of me to say, I did not pay the price, years in hard labor camps for free. But God kept them. The faith that I have and the faith that I have in you, the things that I have entrusted into your hands, you will keep it to the end. And let this be our story. Father, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for your word, God. It's your word that transforms lives, as Pastor Tim reminds us in his devotionals. God, I pray that this will not just be words or just information, but I pray, oh God, that you would open our hearts, that this seed will take root in our lives. I pray, oh Lord, that first and foremost, as I share this word, that I would not be only a messenger that tells others how to live, but I live differently. God Almighty, protect my heart, my marriage, our family. And as we go together, God, I pray that you would speak to us. As we open up your word to speak truth into our children's lives, I pray that you would mold us. Because we sow the seed, but you water it, oh Father. You let the seed grow for your glory. And my prayer has been lately, God, everything that we touch, everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we speak, let it bring honor to your name. And in the moments where we fail, God, convict us. Forgive me, forgive us where we have failed. God, and I pray that we would respond when your Holy Spirit convicts us. God, I pray that we would become people not having a form of godliness, but denying your power. But I pray, oh Jesus, that we would be a people that will live this gospel. I pray that you would visit our marriages, that you would visit our homes in your mercy and in your grace. that you would visit our children, that they will not be confused in this world. I pray, oh God, that you would come with your grace and mercy, that the blood of Jesus would be upon our hearts and upon the doors of our home. I pray, oh God, that nothing of this evil theology and the evil ideas of this world will have room in our homes and in our children's minds. Protect our children. Protect our families. And I pray that we will rise in faith, that we will protect the faith in our hearts. It will not be polluted. I pray that you will give us sensitivity to what we watch, what we allow for our ears to hear, what we allow for our mouths to speak, the places we allow ourselves to go to. God, I pray that you would give us sensitivity to say, I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to go there, because I'm going to protect the faith. I'm going to fight for the faith that is in my heart. That we will not be defiled by the things of this world. We belong to you. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, oh God, as Pastor Carter mentioned last week, that we will live in the freedom, and not only live in this freedom, but also apply it into our lives and prosper in it, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that there is freedom in you. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us, you cover us. Thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. Thank you that you're not leaving us in this world to wander alone, but you come and bring us back to you in the moments where we're lost. God, I pray, in the world that we live in, the shapes the thinking of our children in schools, God, I pray that you will intervene and that our children will rise up and say, that's not true. As your word says, should I pray that they would be gone from this world? No, but keep them in this world. Oh God, I pray that you would keep us and keep our children in the places they go to, for them to have an effect around the people around them. We are the light because you are the light and you live inside of us. And let us shine this light of Christ on the people around us. God, I pray that we will not submit to the ideologies of this world, but you will give us a backbone to stand firm and speak with boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, oh God, that the faith of my grandfather, when he was a young believer in you, he did not know much, he did not know theology, but he knew one thing, that you have come and saved him. And he was willing to give his life for what he believed. I pray the same conviction will be in my heart, in my family's life, in the church here. God, I pray that we would have the same conviction to live for you, oh God. And I pray, oh God, that we will not live to a point that if you will let persecution to come into our lives, that we will stand strong. But help us to practice this faith and this boldness today to say no to ungodliness, to say no to sin, to say no to the things of this world, and to submit to you and to your principles of the Word of God. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh Jesus. Our families belong to you, oh God. We belong to you. We don't belong to this world, but we belong to you. And I pray, oh God, everything that we have entrusted into your hands, I pray that there will be confidence in our hearts that you will keep it. You will keep it, oh God. We cannot keep our children, oh Father. You have to keep them. Your Holy Spirit has to come and have an encounter with them. Oh God, would you do this? Would you do this? We need you, Father. We need you, Lord. And I pray that you will lead us and guide us. Hallelujah. 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 Forgive us where we were afraid to speak your truth. Forgive us, oh God. We have compromised because it felt good to our flesh instead of submitting to your will and to your word. I pray, oh God, that faith will arise. And I pray, oh Lord, that our lives will resemble you and the principles of the word of God. God, if my heart is filled with pain, how much more your heart loves and is filled with pain for the believers that do not fully understand the love of Christ. And I pray that this will be revealed to us in a deeper way, that we will say no to the things of this world and yes to the things of yours. Oh God, help us that we will give you a sacrificial worship. A sacrificial worship to say no to the things of this world and yes to the things of God. Oh Jesus, I have in my heart to give an altar call, a very specific altar call. If you have made peace with sin and you have made peace with the things that are contrary to the word of God, this morning God is speaking to us and warning us. Say no to the ungodliness and say yes to God. God will help you as we all can stand together. I don't mean for this to be condemning gospel. No, this is freedom. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy and to bring condemnation. God came to bring conviction, and conviction is filled with hope. And if you're here this morning to say, I have in my life some things that I need to say no to for the faith in my heart so I can protect it, so I can protect this seed, so it can grow, so I can have an impact on the generation and the people around me. You don't even have to come here. Whatever where you are, you can call upon the name of God. But if you would like to outwardly show this as a step of faith, you can come and we're going to have our leaders here pray for you. You're not alone. This is not to shame you. This is not to beat you down. But I'm sharing this because I love you. I'm sharing this because I have a responsibility. I'm not going to be responsible for your decision, but I am responsible for what I'm teaching you. And I have to teach the full counsel of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you, and I want to see you walk in victory. I want to see you walk the way Christ designed me and you to walk as the Church of Jesus Christ. It might not be always perfect, but this walk will be sincere. I'm calling you to a sincere walk with the Lord, a sincere walk. It's not going to be perfect, but you will be sincere. Hallelujah. And if this is you, come and we'll pray together in a moment.